You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes.
Hello, I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And you're listening to the Australian Finance Podcast.
A podcast where we talk about money, finance, investing, and all that good stuff.
We're helping you invest your time and money better one podcast episode at a time.
Yes, so please subscribe if you like the series. And don't forget you can find us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Kate, where can people go?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Rask Australia. That's R-A-S-K Australia.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Owen Rask on Twitter, or Owen Rask AU on Instagram. Beware the imitators. People like to copy us. Without further ado, let's jump in to today's episode. Kate Campbell, welcome to this very fine episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
Wonderful to be back, Owen.
Just for everyone's note, I don't actually say finance, I say finance, but I just thought it would be a bit of fun.
Finance.
Finance. Mm. Like fine arts, but finance. So today we're talking brokers, Kate.
Yes, we're going to be talking about what brokers are, why you need one, how do you choose, because it's often a point of analysis paralysis for many people in our community, and we really want to help you overcome that step.
Mm. Last few years, a few hundred thousand people have started investing, which is great. It's good for us because we have a podcast which talks about that stuff, but it also means that a lot of people are making this decision. Again, we did an episode on this over a year ago.
Yeah, it was over a year ago now, but lots of things change and new options come to the table. So we're going to just sort of do our updated list of some of the most popular broker options in our community, maybe one or two features of each one, what the fees look like at the moment. So it's probably worth noting we're recording this on the 15th of November, 2022. Mm. So the fees will be accurate as of today because we're going to get them straight from the company's website. But any day after this, they could be different. So make sure you do your own research before deciding anything based on fees. And that's not necessarily the only thing we'll look at when comparing brokers. We do look at a range of other things we'll talk about today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about CommSec, Pearl, Selfwealth, Stake, Vanguard, Superhero, Sharesies as some examples. Maybe we'll share, I'm happy to share which brokers I've been using recently. But we're also going to spend a couple of minutes now just at the start to explain what a brokerage is. So if you've done this before, you can listen through, it won't take too long. And if you're new, this is the next few minutes are for you. So Kate, people have probably heard of this something called the ASX, but what's the difference between that and a broker?
Yep. So the ASX is a place where companies like Telstra and BHP can list and allow investors to buy just a small piece of that company. So instead of having to own the whole of BHP, BHP lists on a stock exchange.
When you say list, what do you mean?
So it goes public. So instead of being a private company, like your local cafe that's maybe owned by only one or two people, when a company goes public, it has lots of different shares. So instead of owned by one or two people, it can be owned by millions of people. So there might be millions, hundreds of millions of shares that are available to the public, and you can buy just a handful and suddenly be an owner of that company. A small owner, but an owner.
And so the ASX is the place where that happens.
Yeah, so that's our main stock exchange in Australia. So that's a place where you can buy and sell pieces of companies and other things, but we'll stick with companies today.
Yep, cool. So what's the difference between the ASX and a broker then?
Yeah. So the ASX is the stock exchange where you can buy and sell, but you can't do it directly through the stock exchange as an individual investor. So you and I, we need to get a middle person to help with that transaction because I might want to buy shares in a certain company,
like Telstra.
Say Telstra for today. I want to buy shares in Telstra, but I don't know who else in Australia owns shares in Telstra. And So I don't know how to go and buy that. I don't know which store to go to.
Yep.
So I open a brokerage account and I tell my broker, hey, I want to buy 20 shares in Telstra. Can you help me with that?
Mm-hmm.
And then my broker goes out and finds someone else in Australia or a collection of people that want to sell their shares in Telstra.
Mm-hmm.
And if our what we want and expect for a price and all that sort of stuff matches, the broker will sit and make that transaction happen. So they'll take the shares off someone else and give them to me, and they'll take my money mm-hmm. and give it to the person I bought it from.
Okay. So the ASX sits in the middle. The broker goes into the market, finds the shares, assuming that there's 20 shares available for you to buy at the price that you've set, and you get the shares.
Yeah. Yep. So one ASX in Australia,
yep.
our main stock exchange, and there's over 30 different brokers. So you get to choose the broker that you want, and you can have multiple brokerage accounts. And that's that account that will hold your investments as well. So in your brokerage account, you might have your Telstra shares, your BHP shares, your any other company shares in there.
Okay. And so there used to be, in the past, there were physical brokers, people that you could go and see. In fact, you can still do this.
Yeah, you can call someone on the phone and say, can you find me 50 shares in BHP? And they'll go find it for you.
Yeah. So those brokers are what we call like full service brokers. So there are some big brokerage companies still around in Australia, but more and more people are taking their brokerage online to the tune of, you know, probably a million, maybe more, do it online. And these used to be called discount brokers because they were so much cheaper than the in-person brokers. The difference is an in-person broker can typically give you advice if they're licensed, whereas an online broker, like the ones we're going to talk about today, these are typically, you just go on and you just place your trades like a supermarket online or Amazon or something like that. So, Kate, how do you open one of these accounts?
Yeah, well, because it's online and technology has helped, it's really simple now. Once you've selected a broker mm-hmm. that you want to open an account, and for the vast majority, all the ones we're talking about don't have fees, so you can just open the account, have a try, and without ever buying anything, you can just see if you enjoy the features. So you can just head to one of these that we mentioned today, have mm-hmm. a look at the website. If you like it, you can just press open an account. You're going to need probably a driver's license or a passport. You're going to need a few ID details to put in, maybe a tax file number as well. And then, bam, you've got a brokerage account.
Some of them, you can do this in a matter of minutes. Some of them may take, you could still get the account in a matter of minutes, but you might not be approved for trading straight away.
Yeah. So a lot of them have apps now too, which they're very quick.
Yeah. One of the things to keep in mind too is that you will need money to buy and sell shares. So that's an obvious hurdle. So you can open the account. As Kate said, all of the ones that we mentioned today are actually, I believe, free. I believe the Vanguard one is free to open. All free. And so you can get a feel for it before you even fund it. So you can have the account kind of just sitting there idle until you're ready to go.
And that's something we suggest is opening a couple and getting a feel for it, adding some shares to your watch list and exploring all the features before you go ahead and invest on that platform. So you make sure you're comfortable with it. And it gives you a way to compare because you can look at the website and you can see the pretty pictures. But until you open the account and have a play around with the app or the website, you won't really know what it feels like.
Yeah. So, Kate, the obvious question that people always ask us is, how do I pay for this? So the broker does that stuff where they go into the market and they find your shares for you and they put it in an account for you. But how do I pay them? Like, how do they get paid?
Yeah. So it's a very inventive name, but it's called a brokerage fee. And this is what you pay your broker for going out and finding a buyer or seller for your company.
Okay.
And we pay it on both sides. So I pay to sell and I pay to buy. And that could range anywhere from $3 to $20 if we're buying maybe $2,000 worth of shares. And that's the fee the broker charges to go out and find a buyer or a seller for those investments.
Yep. So you put in your order, I want to sell 20 shares of that I just bought of Telstra. I want to sell those shares for $5 each, for example. I don't know what the share price is. Let's say you say $5. The broker places that order and the fee is on top of that.
Yes.
So that's important to remember. So say if your broker charged $10 for you to do that, that would be whatever the Telstra value is, and that add $10 on top. The other thing to keep in mind is that some of them have account fees. The ones that we're talking about today, I think only Vanguard has account fees. The rest of them typically don't, which is a big thumbs up from me because I don't like account fees because if you're not doing anything, if you're just investing for the long term, I don't feel like you should be charged extra. But we'll get to that in a little bit. And then there's other things where they charge you. They might say, do you want these extra packages? So there might be like some sort of research, or maybe there's like special charting software, or they will try and do that, like to get you to pay for that, but you don't have to. The thing that almost, and I think every brokerage charges you, is brokerage fees, as Kate was just saying. So if you place an order for $1,000, you want $1,000 worth of an ETF or shares, make sure you've got an extra $10 there to fund that transaction.
And the more you buy and the more you sell investments, the more money the broker makes. So they have, in a way, an incentive to get you to transact on their platform more because they earn more fees that way. And so as an investor, we talk a lot about long-term investing. We want to be buying things and holding them for a long period of time. And the broker has sort of an incentive to get you to act in an opposite way to that and to get you to transact more. So you have to be aware when you open a brokerage account that there's going to be things on that platform, there's going to be data, there's going to be information feeding through that encourages you to buy and sell more often because that's how they make money.
Yeah, really interesting example of this is when you log into your brokerage account, typically what you see on the homepage is the market today. Here's what's happening on the market today. And the simple reason for that being on the page is for you to think, oh, it's up, I buy more. Oh, it's down, I need to sell now. That is your, they're trying to like communicate directly into your monkey brain to be like, go and do something. When all the studies suggest basically that long-term investing, i.e. doing nothing most of the time, actually works. So that's why we're a big fan of long-term investing and why it's important just to recognize where these things are coming from and what they're trying to do. Kate, there's one more piece of jargon I want us to break apart before we get into the brokers that we're going to give a bit of a summary of. And this is this thing called a HIN, a H-I-N. People will see this with some brokers when they do their comparisons after the show. Now, there are two different models. So I want you to imagine in your head, on the one side, we've got a HIN, H-I-N, and on the other side, we've got a custodial model. So HIN, custodial model. What is the difference?
Yeah. So we've used an example in the past with an umbrella. And a holder identification number is where your investments are held under a number that is your own.
So your own umbrella.
Yes. So you've got your own umbrella here and all of your investments through, like say ComSec, are held under a certain number. It usually starts with X, 00, and then a whole string of numbers.
Yep.
And so when you buy and sell investments, that will be recorded under your specific number slash umbrella.
So at the company level, so Telstra would know that you, Kate, are the holder of these shares.
Yeah. And when you go to your share registry, you'll log in and you'll use your HIN to set it up. And it will tell you under this HIN, you've got all of these investments.
Okay.
And so that makes it more secure because everything's held individually under your name. So if anything happens to the broker, you can keep holding your umbrella and go and find another broker.
Yep.
So you can transfer those investments to a different platform.
And just so you know, if you're new to this, this is only for Australia.
Yes.
So overseas, they use the other model. So if you invest in US shares, even if you're in Australia, you're going to use this other model, which Kate is now about to explain. What is a custodial model?
A custodial model, it's a bit of a complicated word, but it is where the company aims to provide lower cost brokerage by using a group umbrella. So you might have thousands or hundreds of thousands of investors with the one, all holding the one umbrella. So the company will have one holder identification number and all of their clients will be invested under the same number. Mm-hmm. And so that might allow one Telstra share to be split many ways between customers. So if you're allowed to buy, so minimum parcel size usually is $500. So if you want to buy Telstra shares, normally your broker will make you buy a minimum of $500 of Telstra shares. But with some of the lower cost brokers, you can buy like a 1 cent or $5 of this share. And what happens is the company buys the shares for you and then just allocates it to you. So they record on their end who owns what investments.
So this would be like if you had that big umbrella and there's like 10,000 shareholders underneath it, all of their money is pulled together and then they manage their own little database.
Yes.
Of like, we've got our own database.
So they'll have a very fancy technical spreadsheet which says who owns what
and
under this huge umbrella.
Okay. So and this is what happens when you go overseas, right? Because that's the model overseas. Okay. So there are some pros and cons of each of these. I'll just quickly go through them. So if you have the HIN one, you obviously, as Kate said, you get the direct ownership. The other thing is you can switch because it's like just your number.
Yep. You can take your umbrella and go wherever you want.
Yep. So if you could switch your broker and presto. The other thing is you typically get really easy voting rights. So in this instance, you are the owner. So you can log into the AGM when they do their annual meetings. This is the company I'm talking about. And you can vote from there. The other one is, and then the
we should mention dividend reinvestment plans.
Oh, yes. And dividends, you can elect to receive your dividends, which would normally be cash paid to your brokerage account or your nominated bank account. You can get that in new shares in the company. We should actually just quickly bust some jargon. It's going to go off the track here. Kate mentioned something called a share registry before. A share registry is different to your brokerage. This is a different company that manages all the admin. So this would be, the common names are Computershare, Link Market Services, and Boardroom in Australia. These are the three big ones. And you can log in there using your HIN number, which is the thing that we're talking about. You can use that number, log in, you can do your DRP, dividend reinvestment plan. You can set what you want to vote on. You can attend an AGM. You can change your address. You can do email preferences on your notifications. You can say which bank account you want all your dividends to be paid in. That's a different company. You don't select that. You just get the mail from them.
And that's how you can verify that those investments are in your name.
Yeah.
Because you buy them via CommSec or whichever broker, and then you can go into the registry and check that everything's as it should be and those investments are in your name with your all your details there.
Yeah. So basically what the benefit of this model, the key benefit of this is you are the individual owner. Now, a lot of the people that talk about this other thing, which is the custodial model, will say, well, it can be cheaper if you use a custodial model. So there's more access. The other thing is you can also invest in more ways and into different things because this, you know, this HIN thing, this holder identification number only applies to Australian shares because it's an ASX thing. So if you invest in the United States, you will not get a HIN. You'll be on a custodial model. And it's generally accepted around the world. So there are pros and cons to both. I've heard someone say that getting a holder number is the best form of insurance that you should probably never need when it comes to investing. It's that sleep at night factor. So some of the brokers that we're about to mention do offer the HIN model, and some of them do offer the other model, the custodial model. We'll make it clear which one they do when we go through. But keep in mind, any of them that invest overseas, all of them are going to use a custodial model because that HIN thing is only for Australia. And while we're on that, if you want to buy shares of Apple or Google or any of those companies, you will need to activate the international brokerage part of the account. So there are two parts of the account. There's the Australian or ASX, typically Australian shares, and then there's the US shares. That's a separate thing, but you have to do it once you're in the account. Okay, not to bombard people because now we've been through like the foundations. Let's talk about these brokers. Maybe I will prompt you and then you can just say kind of what they're used for. And then we can talk about like, I guess, the fees and that sort of stuff. And I'll, for anyone that's watching on YouTube, I'll bring up the video so you can see me on the webpage explaining how everything works.
Sounds good.
Cool. Who do you want to go with? Maybe we'll go with Perla first, sponsor of the show.
Yes. So Perla is a newer player in the Australian brokerage ecosystem. It hasn't been around for decades, like maybe CommSec or NabTrade, but they really focus on long-term investing. So unlike some of the platforms, they're not shoving what's happened in the last 24 hours in your face, which to me is a good thing. And they focus on long-term share price charts and they give you a lot of data. So you can see what other people are investing in on that platform and you can see what the demographics are. So that's quite cool, even if you just want to have a look at what other people are buying.
Yep, cool. And just on the website, one of the things, we called it a HIN before, H-I-N. There's another word which you might see, it's called CHESS. If it says CHESS sponsored, that's basically meaning HIN. You get that individual number. Okay, so that's Perla. And the fees on Perla, Kate?
Oh, well, I've got it up in front of me. So a flat fee of $6.50 per transaction to buy and sell Australian shares.
So if I wanted to buy Telstra shares again, as our example, it would cost me $6.50. So I'd need my $500 plus my $6.50.
Yes.
And the same is when I sell. So that's pretty simple. They do have a thing where you can prepay and save 15 15% to get it down to $5.50. If you prepay, it's pretty simple, like prepaying for your coffee in the morning.
They offer, you can also do US investing if you want to. So that's something you can explore. Mm-hmm. They do offer a holder identification number. So that's great. And they offer automated investing. So you can set it up in the background if you want to.
Yeah, which is becoming more popular. Maybe now... So just for clarity, again, Perla is a long-term sponsor of the Australian Finance Podcast. We're not paid to mention them in this episode. It's just us just talking about brokers. So that's Perla. Another one, Kate, that's popped up recently, which if you don't mind, we can jump to now, which is Sharesies. Mm-hmm. Can we jump to that? Because they also offer something like the kind of like auto-invest type thing.
Yes.
And we're fans of auto-investing because it takes the... I guess the need to have to log in and the behavioral things out of the market, you can just kind of like let it run. So tell us a little bit about Sharesies.
Yeah. So Sharesies started in New Zealand about 6 or 7 years ago now.
Yep.
They've expanded over to Australia in the last couple of years and they're offering really low cost investing. They have automation on shares and ETFs. They allow you to buy Australian, New Zealand and US shares, I believe, all in the one platform. Mm-hmm. And they've got quite a good app. So their fees are 0.5% for amounts up to $3,000. So if you wanted to buy $2,000 of Telstra.
Yeah, it'd be about $10. So it's a different model. So before we were saying how it's like a flat fee with Perla, with this one you pay a percentage.
Which means if you're investing $5, it's only 3 cents.
Yeah, it's a lot less. But if you're investing more money, like $5,000, then it becomes more expensive. So that's kind of the key distinction on the fees there. But the other distinction, Kate, is the HIN, the holder identification number.
Yeah. So this Sharesies is a custodial model. So a group umbrella, like we mentioned before.
Okay. So a group umbrella, but they're very big in New Zealand. Hundreds of thousands of users are on Sharesies. How about then, let's go to the big mama. Let's go to CommSec, Kate. CommSec has been around for a long time. That logo looks familiar. Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, so CommSec has multi-decade track record. It's been around for a while. It offers mostly everything you can want, but because it's been around for so long, the fees are a bit higher and they haven't had to compete too much.
Yeah.
I think they're still Australia's biggest broker.
Yeah, they are by far. I think over 50% of the market still use CommSec.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started off with CommSec just because I had a Dolomites account as a kid and it just seemed like the natural progression of things when I was 18 and had no idea. I just sort of naturally went to CommSec because I didn't know what other options were out there. And 7, 8 years ago, there weren't as many newer brokers available.
No, there weren't.
They're
all the ones that we've got now.
So from what I've seen, the app works. I like their watch list features. They've got good notification features. So I still use it for research purposes and keeping track of companies. I don't use it as much for investing because the brokerage is a bit higher. Mm-hmm. But it's $19.95 if I wanted to buy $2,000 of Telstra.
Yeah. And they have this thing, when you set up your account, you get something called a CDIA. CDIA. If you get confused by that, it's a linked bank account. So it's where you put your money into and then when you make your transaction, like you buy Telstra shares, that's where the money gets pulled from. And the whole idea is that that's a CommBank bank account. So they're trying to get you in the CommBank ecosystem.
Yeah.
So they make it a bit better for you to do that. Mm. If you're a serious investor, CommSec has so many bells and whistles. Like for people like you and I, Kate, we would only use 10% of the functionality, if that, maybe 2%.
They offer a lot of other investment products that you might not necessarily be able to invest in through other brokers, but they're probably not things that Owen and I would use.
Yeah, there's a lot of things here. Like you can even invest in debt products, margin loans, options. I mean, very few people would want to be involved with some of that stuff. So, good on them for having that gigantic menu, but... Yeah,
and you can access quite a number of global markets. The functionality is not amazing, but there's some markets that you can access there that you can't really access through many other brokers like the London Stock Exchange.
Yeah, let's be honest, that international brokerage part is ugly. Okay, so another one which is really popular amongst the CommSec community is Selfwealth. Full disclosure, Selfwealth is a sponsor of our Australian Investors podcast. It has been around for quite some time. We are yeah, it's a long-term sponsorship. Again, we're not paid to mention them in this video. We're not paid to mention any of these things in this video.
Should we also mention that Commonwealth Bank listed company, Selfwealth is a listed company as well on the Australian Stock Exchange. So you can buy Selfwealth on Selfwealth and CBA on Comsec.
So what Kate means there is Selfwealth, the company itself, is actually something that you can invest in if you want to. Just like CommBank owns Comsec, you can invest in Commonwealth Bank shares via the stock exchange.
Yeah.
Whereas these other ones, they're not. It doesn't work that way. They're different. They're private companies. Private companies.
So they have shareholders, but members of the public can't necessarily invest in them.
Yeah. In the exception of Vanguard, they're actually member owned. So they're owned by their investors. But okay, so Selfwealth, tell us a bit about this business, Kate.
Yeah. So Selfwealth's been around for a while now. It's fairly simple to use. You can access Australian and US markets. It's $9.50 for a flat fee if I wanted to buy $2,000 of Telstra.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear pricing. It's not a percentage.
Yep.
So that makes that quite easy. And it has lots of portfolio research tools as well.
Yeah. So a lot of people will know that I host the Selfwealth live show. Basically, Selfwealth set up to be a competitor to the major banks by offering fixed fees, transparent pricing, very simple. So that's why a lot of people with larger balances like it, because it's like Comsec, but fixed fees.
Yeah. So the pricing page, I'm just looking at the Selfwealth. It is very short and simple and clear, whereas Comsec's pricing page, because they offer so many different types of investment products, is quite long.
Yeah. So you can tell by when you go to the pricing pages, which if you go to a particular broker, who do they compare against?
Yeah.
They're telling you who, like, swap from them to us. And in the case of Selfwealth, it's got Comsec right next to it.
Yeah.
So it's saying, come across. So another one, Kate, which is not as popular in our community, which I'm surprised about, is Superhero. Superhero has a cool sounding name. It offers a lot of kind of really good user interface type stuff. The website's very sleek. It offers a lot of products as well. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah. Well, I haven't personally used Superhero, but it's spent a lot of money on advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it around quite a bit, but it is more focused on investing via the app. It's simple, lower cost. It offers Australian and US.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, it is a custodial model, so group umbrella. You're not getting your own holder identification number. And they also offer a super fun product.
Yeah. So The business is trying to bring down the cost of brokerage. They're trying to open it up to everyone. And they do some things, cool things with ETFs as well. So there are a few, like if you read through, you can actually see how they're trying to bring down the cost for certain types of things. I must admit, I did see the advertising when I was in Sydney, Kate. It was on the side of a bus. Looks like they've got a little bit of a link up here with Qantas Frequent Flyer.
Yeah. So what have we got? $5 a trade for Australian shares on their platform.
Yep. And so a lot of the, just so you know, if you see something that says $0 brokerage, I'm on the Superhero website here, I can see that. They're not the only ones that say $0 brokerage, particularly in the United States. A lot of them make money, and I don't know exactly with Superhero in this instance, but a lot of them make money when you transfer currencies. So before we were saying how it's typically just brokerage here in Australia because you're just buying in Australian dollars, you just go in and buy your Telstra shares or whatever. But when you transfer your money from Australian dollars to US dollars, like what happens when you have to buy Apple shares, for example, you have to buy them in US dollars, makes sense. They make money when you transfer back and forth. So that's another fee. If you are setting up a brokerage account and you're thinking, I only want to invest in US companies, you really want to pay attention to that fee. So take your time and make sure you're doing that transaction at the right time as well. So Superhero offers a lot of functionality, Aussie, US, ETFs, all the stuff that you would expect. Another one that's kind of in that vein, Kate, is Stake. Stake's probably taken, of all of these brokers, probably taken the Australian market by storm. Tell us a little bit about the business.
Yeah. So I've tested Stake a little bit myself because I originally used it for US investing, mm-hmm. but they came out a year or two ago now with Australian investing. So they actually started kind of the other way around. They started with US.
US first.
US first and then did offered Australian investing. So it's $3 brokerage flat fee at the moment.
Yep.
Which
it has changed a little bit from time to time, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I think when they first came out to Australia, well, not to Australia, but to offer Australian investing. It was $0 for a while to get people onto the platform, but it's $3 now.
Yeah, they had this super loyalty program where you could refer a friend and you could get it for zero for X number of months. And
yeah, the loyalty program's still going, but they started off with $0 brokerage. So.
Right. So they split their, they've got the Aussie side and then they've got what they call Wall Street. Wall Street just means US.
Yeah. So it's quite easy in the app to toggle between the two.
Yeah. If you've ever been to Wall Street in the US, by the way, it is incredibly boring. People think it's like really glamorous and ritzy. It's not. It's really just a dark street in New York. There's nothing really interesting at all about it other than it's called Wall Street and there's a bull there.
Yeah. I mean, stakes fairly simple. I'd say it does encourage you to trade a bit more. There's a lot more data of what's happening being fed in and price movements, and you can see different types of charts and things like that. So,
yeah, and they've offer when you log in now, they also offer research, and that's you can get like a subscription in there as well. But the thing for me, Kate, and this is just me speaking for myself and my own personal preferences, I don't care about brokerage, to be honest. It's at a point now where I am not price sensitive. So if you're trading, $500, then maybe you really want to pay attention to it. But if you're trading $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, to be honest, I actually see brokerage fees is actually a good thing because then you know who you're paying, when you're paying, and it also creates a bit of a barrier because it's stopping you from trading so often. Like if you think about it, if it's expensive to do something, you just avoid doing it.
Yeah, so, I mean, 1995 did make me pause when I used GOMSEC, whereas maybe $0 with some of the US investing, I have noticed the psychology is different. It is easier to just go, oh, I'll just put $50 in this company because it's $0 brokerage.
Doesn't matter. The only thing that you've got to keep in mind is the huge admin that you'll have at the end of the year when it comes to tax time. And also if you've got taxable gains or losses, that's all tax you have to pay.
Yes, so there's a lot of downsides to doing too much buying and selling, apart from the fact that you're going to pay potentially more brokerage.
Yep. So we've gone through, we've done through Perla, Sharesies, we did ComSec, SelfWealth, Superhero, Stake, and now the last one, Kate, is Vanguard. The name that people know for ETFs and index funds, Vanguard has a brokerage that you can use?
Yes. It has started in the last few years offering a platform that individual investors can actually go and buy Vanguard products on, among other things.
Okay.
So not only can you buy your VAS ETF through any broker that you want, so you could buy Vanguard ETFs through Perla or through ComSec, you can also buy Vanguard ETFs and offer ETFs through Vanguard Personal Investor. So you set up an account with them. Now, they've just changed their fees again. So they've been playing with the fees to work out, I think, the right product market fit in Australia. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, you don't have to pay any brokerage fees to buy Vanguard ETFs. You have to pay to sell.
Okay.
Pay $9 to sell, a flat fee. And if you want to buy shares, which is more what we're talking about in this episode, is a $9 flat brokerage fee to buy and sell Australian shares.
Okay. So, yeah, the thing for me is there's an account fee.
Yes, that's a sting in the side.
Yeah, so it's got this thing in the headline. It says $0 brokerage, and then there's an account fee.
If you have Australian shares in that account. So, if you have Telstra shares in your Vanguard Personal Investor account, you are going to pay an annual account fee of 0.1% per annum.
Now, there's two sides to this. One side is they're basically forcing you to use their platform only to invest in their funds, which they then collect fees on. So that's the cynical side is like, imagine if it wasn't Vanguard, imagine if it was another provider did this, the whole industry would be up in arms. But because it's Vanguard, where they typically have really, really good ETFs and really, really good everything, we kind of just accept it. But I don't really like the 10.
Yeah. The account fee only applies to the Australian shares portion shares, of your account. ETFs. So if you mostly had ETFs, the account fee would be quite small if you only had $1,000 of Telstra shares in your account. But we don't really like extra fees if we're already paying $9 brokerage, which is quite comparable to other brokers.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. If Vanguard, if it's that small, the fee, I guess the counterpoint is just get rid of it.
Like, and they might.
I think they will in time, to be honest. But I think for now, it's a good thing because it kind of pushes people into diversified ETFs and that sort of stuff.
And I like that it's free to buy Vanguard ETFs and then cost to sell, because that changes your psychology when you approach investing.
And to be honest, I think that's the whole point of the fee as well, is to try and get you into their funds, which are diversified and so on and so forth.
We probably should mention that, as far as I know, Vanguard used the group umbrella method. So
you don't get the hint.
No.
Yep.
So it's all held in this account, but allows them to do different things. So you can also invest in Vanguard managed funds through this personal investor account, so which you wouldn't necessarily be able to do the same way if they issued you a holder identification number.
Yeah. So just so for people that are, this is their first time on the podcast, a managed fund is just like an ETF. Think of it like a ready-made basket for you. That is already made for you. And normally you wouldn't be able to buy that through a brokerage account, but because Vanguard has the platform, they can just do it online for you and you can invest that way. Whereas in the past, you'd have to fill out paperwork and all that sort of mumbo jumbo. So those are probably the most popular brokers in our community. There are a lot more. There's Westpac, there's NAB, there's CMC Markets. There are a heap of others, Kate. And I think the key thing for everyone today is just to remember what we talked about are things like how you use a brokerage account, being wary of how they're trying to maybe get you to trade or not to trade. In this case, you can see Vanguard is saying, don't trade, which is a good thing for us. And then other ones, you can see they're trying to set you up to make you trade, which if that's your investment strategy for some of your money, cool. We don't advocate that for a lot of it, to be honest. And then the other thing is, like, do you want a HIN, like a what they call chess sponsor, where you get that individual umbrella, or do you want to be under everyone's umbrella? Everyone's umbrella model is very common overseas. And then it comes down to, what's the user experience? Do you like the platform? All of these brokers that we mentioned on the show today have AFSLs, meaning that they are regulated in Australia by ASIC. That's the regulator of the financial services industry. So you can rest assured that someone is looking at these platforms and regulating them and making sure they're doing the right thing. If your broker goes bust with the HIN model, it's easier because you own, have a direct line of sight to the shares. Even in a custodial model, you know, we haven't had this happen in Australia for quite some time. And even under that model, it shouldn't be, you know, a situation where it's catastrophic.
It might just take a bit more time to sort things out.
Yeah, exactly. So brokerage accounts are regulated. They're insured. They do all the right things in Australia. Always pay attention to the T's and C's and the product disclosure statements for different products.
Yeah, and especially if you decide to use the US side of the broker, which most of these offer a US option, the fees will be different. And you need to keep in mind that there'll be separate fees. There'll be the brokerage fee, and should check whether it's priced in Australian or US dollars, because that changes things. You don't want to be comparing 650 Australian versus another platform 650 US and think it's equivalent, because it's different. And you also want to be looking at that exchange fee. So what does it cost to move your Australian dollars that are currently sitting in your savings account into their platform? Because they'll take a cut as you move it from Australian to US dollars, and that cut will be different depending on which platform you choose.
And that's the way a lot of these brokers make a lot of their money. One final thing that I said is a bit of a nerdy thing. Some of the brokers, if you set up a bank account when you go through, which most of them you do, check if there's interest paid on your cash. A lot of the time you don't get the interest, they collect it. So that's another way for them to make money. Some of the brokers will pay you interest, or you can just not put your cash in there. Just keep your cash in your bank account until you're ready to buy and sell.
And you can have multiple brokers. Like, I use a few different brokers. So I'll use one broker for my core portfolio that's got all my long-term ETFs and a few of the shares that I plan to hold for a very long period of time, because I don't want to be having that on my phone and looking at all the time. And then I use a different broker for US investing and for small caps or more short-term investments that I potentially want to play a more active role in. And I have a different psychological approach towards the different brokerage accounts I have. So it helps me to keep things separate. I know some people are quite fine having it all in one spot, and they can differentiate it in their mind.
Yeah, agreed. I use the CommSec app for news and alerts. I use Perla for the automation. I haven't used Vanguard Stake. I've downloaded the app. I've used it. It's really easy to use. And SelfWealth I use for data and that sort of stuff. And I'm sure sooner or later I'm going to get one. I actually downloaded the Sharesies app the other day. And I'm sure eventually I'll get some sort of Vanguard account as well. So what we mean to say is you can choose any of these and go and give them a shot.
Yeah.
And let us know what you like. Like in our community, it's because our community has got to a certain size now, it's what is in our community is basically a representation of what we're seeing in the industry, which is like ComSec, Self-Wealth, Perla, Stake. Like it goes in that kind of order. But there are heaps of great ideas out there. I would just stick with the brands you know, look at the website, get a feel for the app before you put money in, and you'll be off to the races and investing in a few days.
Yeah, just give it a go. Don't let this step hold you back from just taking that first step forward on your investing journey.
Agree, Kate. Well, this is heaps of fun. Our most popular question always is, which broker should I go with? We're not telling you which one to go with. We're just trying to help you navigate it. Yeah, talk to your friends about it. Share this episode with them if they're looking to get started. Kate, heaps of fun. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast, where our mission is to improve the financial futures of all Australians. If you'd like to learn more, create a free account at rusk.com.au/account to download free episode workbooks, bonus resources, and take our amazing free personal finance courses.
You can also join our online community by following the link in the description. If you enjoyed the show, what we'd love is for you to leave us a snappy review on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rask Australia. Kate and I are also on both of those channels. Finally, if you have any feedback, suggestions for episodes or guests to come on the show, or you just have a question for us, shoot us an email at podcast@rask.com.au. InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10, and to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high growth strategy focuses on longer term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 RASC community members have begun the RASC plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian Property Podcast by RASC, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of RASC Corps, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax. I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All RASC users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the RASC community uses each and every day. Number eight, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number nine, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASC YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASC network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASC Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we're on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASC Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASC Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000. And hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASC and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASC network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.